Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Boston Celtics will not play their first second-round playoff game against the Toronto Raptors tonight in Orlando. In fact, the NBA announced just earlier this afternoon there will be no playoffs for a second day in a row after the Milwaukee Bucks refused to take the floor last night to call attention to the police shooting of Jacob Blake, an unarmed black man in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Here's part of the statement Bucks player Sterling Brown delivered as the team emerged from the locker room.
Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
So players from the Celtics and other playoff teams quickly came to their support, as did the women's NBA. And until earlier today, it actually looked like they might boycott the rest of the playoffs. Multiple outlets now report the players have decided to resume the season, but are working out a deal with the league to bring more exposure to issues of racial justice and police violence. Here to break it all down with us is Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN and sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday. Welcome back, Howard.
Hey, Tiziana, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. It's good to have you. And I want to invite listeners into this, too. How are you reacting to all of this? Do you support NBA players and their decision to boycott? Do you think they should sit out the rest of the season? What do you want from the Celtics, the Sox, the Bruins? Call us, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Howard, I chuckled there because we just were talking sports a couple of days ago, and what an interesting turn things have taken.
Well, in addition to that, I was thinking that we jinxed the Bruins because they could use a few more goals after the idea that, gee, after a couple of back-to-back games, they could be up 3-0. And now
yes.
They're trading. Exactly. That was a bit optimistic. But I think
It was.
And I think I'm going to stay with hockey a little bit because when the Milwaukee Bucks were making their announcement that they weren't going to play, I immediately turned on the TV and the Flyers and the Islanders were playing. So it was an interesting question to say, okay, is this a one-team thing? And how do the Orlando Magic feel about it? And there's a hockey game going on right now. And then you look 24 hours later and the NHL's not playing. The USTA, the tennis, the Western and Southern Open, they're not playing. You had baseball. You had 3 games canceled with baseball last night. So suddenly what you're seeing is a coordinated, concerted effort on the part of all of the players and all of these different leagues across sport to get involved in this statement.
Is there anything in sports history that is precedent for what we're seeing and have seen? For what you just laid out, Howard?
Cross sport, no. You've seen individuals, and in fact, in Boston, Bill Russell, 1961, Bill Russell, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, boycotted a game because they were treated, they were discriminated against in the hotel coffee shop. So there's some history there, but in terms of this sort of cross sport wildcat protest move, refusal to play, never seen anything like this at all.
And we should note Bill Russell tweeted out his support for NBA players who weren't playing. And for comments that Doc Rivers made earlier this week that people found deeply moving about the relationship between Black Americans and the country. Do you expect to hear more voices from sort of the sage elders of sports over the next few days?
Well, I think the generational part of this is really fascinating. If you are of a certain age, especially obviously Bill Russell, born in 1934 and having lived it and been part of it, you do have an expectation. You have an expectation that you are part of the larger struggle because the larger struggle affected you directly. No matter how much fame you had as a player, you still had to go live in a segregated country for a major part of your life. If you're part of this generation, the Michael Jordan generation, well, in my generation, most of us had thought that sports, that athletes had checked out. But now if you're looking at the LeBron James generation or this younger generation, they're a different group. They feel they're making these connections. I think one thing I'd been talking about earlier is that, and when I was a kid growing up in Boston, I'm 51 years old. When we grew up, our families and our parents never told us to expect equality. We were told to expect access. We wanted the opportunity to do what we could do. This generation, these kids, if you were born if your first election was 2008, then you're 30 years old now and you've been living this whole idea that things were post-racial and that you don't just want access, you want equality. And if you're Black, you want that equality, even though we're only 13% of the population. And the athletes being at the top of the food chain in terms of their wealth and their visibility, they are making their presence felt in ways that we just aren't used to with the road we've traveled.
Let's go to the phones, Howard. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Sarah on the line from Cambridge. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. This is Sarah from Cambridge, and I am thrilled. I am a grandmother. These guys that are refusing to play, I think it was the Celtics, and they're boycotting because of Kenosha, et cetera, keeps on happening, and I am thrilled that they're doing that.
Well, thanks for that call, Sarah. And, you know, we do have young players, really young players, taking a stand and taking a lead here. But also, again, there are protests, they're speaking, they're standing up across generations. And Howard, I want to set this up. I want to play a little sound from Chris Webber last night. So one of the things that happened was commentators were ready to cover the game. I mean, it wasn't like this had been known for hours before. So former NBA player, current TNT analyst Chris Webber is on the screen. He's supposed to be calling last night's game. And instead, he delivers an incredible message, fighting back tears. And here's a piece of it.
No, this has never happened before, but I'm sure that Dr. Harry Edwards, Dr. John Carlos, Arthur Ashe, Jackie Robinson, and others have been praying for this day. I keep hearing the question, like, what's next? What's next? Well, you got to plan what's next. You have to figure out what's next. I'm very proud of the players. I don't know the next steps. Don't really care what the next steps are, because the first steps are to garner attention. And they have everybody's attention around the world right now. Then leadership and others will get together and decide the next steps.
So there he is invoking, you know, Jackie Robinson, Arthur Ashe from tennis. We've got Sarah on the line talking about these younger players who are now stepping up. What is the burden on our young players now in this moment, especially in this week, in this moment where our political rhetoric is so frayed?
Well, you absolutely have a dichotomy. You've got a collision here. If you compare and contrast what we're seeing from the RNC convention, and Donald Trump has essentially said over and over again, more police, more authority. And then at the same time, you have these athletes and you have these young people in the street saying no, especially in Portland. We don't want more authority on our streets. We don't want MRAPs, and we don't want tanks on American streets. We don't want police dressed in camouflage. This country's falling apart. It's tearing itself apart right now, and we're witnessing that. And I think that the part of this that I saw interesting from the player's standpoint, when you're making those links and those connections to Jackie Robinson and Kareem and Muhammad Ali and all of those players, is that they do recognize they've got a level of influence, and it can go in either direction. Let's not forget that the risk that these players are taking is nothing like the risk the players took in the 60s, because players today, the average basketball salary is $6 million. So they can check out in a way. And they also have the power that the money has given them to take more risks. So their position is a very, very different one than the athletes that we grew up with.
And what's their responsibility then?
I think it's a great question about what is the responsibility. I think that you have a responsibility as a professional. You certainly have a responsibility to your communities. I remember talking to Carmelo Anthony about this when he was playing for the New York Knicks, and he was watching. He's from Baltimore, from West Baltimore, and he was watching what was happening to Freddie Gray in 2015. And he said, I can't stand by the sidelines anymore. Even though I make $20 million a year, I'm going home. And so he went and walked arm in arm with his community. And so I feel like the players, the money is supposed to give you freedom. And that's the hard thing about being in sports right now, is this idea of entertainment. I love the fact that the tennis player Naomi Osaka really did change the ownership question by saying, I don't think that it's really important for you to watch me play tennis right now. She didn't say, I didn't think it was important for me to play tennis right now. What she was really saying was the same thing that Dee Gordon said over with the Seattle Mariners, is that where we are in this country right now, we don't want to contribute to the distraction. If you want to pay attention to something, pay attention to what's going on here.
Howard, that makes me think of so many conversations we've had on our team over the last 6 months about in the pain that we are in as a country, in the pain that we are in around this pandemic and the pain that we are in around questions of racial justice and police brutality. When is it okay to have joy? When is it okay to play? When is it okay to be distracted? And when is it not? And it feels like you're saying that we're in a not moment right now.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the players are going to make that decision and we don't make it for them. I'm saying that the players, for years, this sports dynamic has been to treat the players, shut up and play, shut up and dribble. You're here to entertain us. Your job is to go play. Literally, your job is to entertain us. And I love the fact that the players are taking some ownership of that. And the players are saying, no, you get me when I want to entertain you. And I think that is the beauty of them making as much money as they've made, because they've got the financial resources to take a step away. I could be in all kinds of grief right now based on what's happening in the world. I don't have the money to take a day off of work. I can't afford to do that. They can afford to do that. They can afford to. And then you heard Jared Kushner come out and say that as if that was somehow a bad. And that's exactly right. Yes, they've got the money to take that step back. And that's exactly what all of this struggle is all about, is to have a little bit of self-determination. It's good that they have it. And at the same time, Tiziana, what we found out in terms of their professionalism is that at the end of the day, they still chose to play. So it's not like they don't want to play. It's not like they said, we're checking out. I got a lot of calls from people today who have said, well, maybe the smarter move was to go all the way, not to jab, 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 parry, but to throw the knockout punch and just say, we're not coming back. I don't know what the right question or what the right call is in that regard, but I do love the fact that that conversation is taking place, that sometimes this doesn't feel that important.
What about the other jobs on the line if they don't play? If they didn't, I mean, obviously we now know they are planning to continue. But the question has come up significantly in the last 24 hours. Lots of other jobs, lots of other financial investment. How do you balance that?
Yeah, and we saw that, though, with the pandemic. So we're not going to blame the players for this, right? We saw this with the pandemic when all of those ticket takers and janitors and concessionaires and all of those folks lost their jobs without George Floyd being killed. So let's not conflate that. And I think that one of the really interesting, I mean, people are getting laid off no matter what, even in good economies, people, you know, corporations are downsizing people. I really, really enjoyed the fact that you saw the players question whose responsibility it was to shut the game down. I'd gotten some texts from some players saying, why was it even our responsibility? You wrote this enormous check after George Floyd got killed. You had the NFL saying we should have listened to Colin Kaepernick. You have the NBA and even the NHL and Major League Baseball all talking about how much this matters. And now you see that video of a man being shot in the back 7 times. Now, why are we the ones saying that we should shut this down? You should know that out of respect, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be playing at all. It's not the right time. It's an interesting battle about who's got that. Should the league have stepped in and said, hey, guys, do you want to play?
Yeah, in listening to you talk about it and sort of shed light on that, that is such a massive renegotiation of our historic understanding of who calls the shots in sports and who should call the shots.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think the other part of that that's really important to remember is that we have had in the past, there is precedent here. We've seen it before when the towers fell in 2001, the sports leadership said, we're not playing. The leadership of the country said, we're not playing. Boston Marathon bombing, we're not playing. The game's not going to go on. You wait a few days and then the games go on. And these dynamics take place all the time. But where they don't take place is when something like this happens, because what you're really talking about is reforming the state. We're reforming, you know, who has power. And these are conversations that were unthinkable 5 years ago. So it is a testimony to how much things are changing in the country and how we're renegotiating where athletes fit within it.
I'm going to go to a call here, but I just want to note to your point, unthinkable 5 years ago, unthinkable 4 years ago, because this happened 4 years to the day from when Colin Kaepernick first kneeled during the national anthem. And you made that reference a few minutes ago. I'm going to grab another call here, 800-423-8255. We have T on the line from Malden.
Yes, I wholeheartedly support the athletes to use their privilege to make a stand against what is happening in this country, where Black men, women, and children are being murdered with impunity by those who are paid to protect and serve the public.
Thank you, T. I appreciate that call. And let's talk about some of the athletes, Howard. You know, as a Boston sports fan, the Celtics, how are you feeling about their role in the action? Jaylen Brown, who was apparently a leading voice in supporting the Bucks last night and saying the Bucks didn't need to tell anyone, this was their call, and they were free to make it.
Yeah, no question. Once again, new generation. New generation pays attention to this country. New generation is looking at the idea of equality very, very differently. And also, new generation does not look at the role of an athlete the same way previous generation did, which was collect your money, hide behind the tinted glass of your Escalades, and just keep collecting and be rich. They're a different mindset. And I think that I appreciate that, because this is what we say we want. All those years during the Michael Jordan era, people kept saying, well, I wish he would say more. I wish he would say more. Then guys start saying more and people say, no, we don't want you to talk so much anymore. So I understand the split here, but I also love the fact that I'm always a fan of citizenship, period. The fact that players are acting like citizens, I'm good with that. I also think too that the players are responsible. I think that there's an idea of professionalism that they have. They chose to come back and work. I don't think that what you're really seeing here, the players saying they don't want to work, they don't want to play, they don't want to entertain. They do, but they also are sending you the other message, which is, I'm not going to entertain you at the expense of this. You have to pay attention to this if you say you care about us as people. We're not just entertainers for you.
They're also pushing for social action. You know, the team, the Celtics last night tweeted under hashtag justice for Jacob Blake, quote, justice for Jacob, how to demand action. And then the contact information for the Kenosha DA, the Kenosha mayor, the Wisconsin Department of Justice, this kind of urging of social action from a sports team. I wonder, was that, you know, unthinkable even 12 months ago?
Well, I think that these things had been in the works. The people had been talking about it, but I think that the difference is the action combined with the determination to not perform. I think that's the combination that's new, because we were here in 2014 when it looked like the Los Angeles Clippers weren't going to play in the wake of Donald Sterling, and yet the games went on. We had this conversation earlier this year when the players were thinking after George Floyd and during the pandemic that the world's too crazy right now, as the relief pitcher Sean Doolittle for the Washington Nationals said sports should be the reward for a functioning society, and right now society's not functioning. So these conversations have taken place. The difference is that the players have demanded something, and it does feel completely different. I also think, too, one of the things when you hear the sort of backlash is, I think the idea of what this is really all about is one of proportionality, that there's no question that Jacob Blake was a suspect in a crime, and maybe a terrible, heinous crime, you know, and maybe guilty of that crime. And that's not really the issue. The issue that these athletes are asking is, why do these confrontations in a country where you are supposedly innocent until proven guilty, why do these confrontations result in your last day on earth? Why is that the bargain? And I think that is the question that has made all of us think. And that's why I think for them shutting the game down to make us think about this was an effective tactic.
Well, Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN and sports correspondent for NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday, thanks for taking the time to help us sort this out and put some real perspective not only into what's happening, but what's changing. I appreciate you joining us.
It's my pleasure, always.